boys would come out of the deacon's meeting there a minute ago, I may have to do a tag team and just give Doug my notes and let him preach tonight, amen. Of course, he might want to use his own notes, amen. Amen, but you pray for him. Okay, well, all right. As long as you got them off in that, right? Amen, amen. All right, book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 9. Let's read these two verses, verses 33 and 34, and we'll take our text there. We'll look at a couple of things in this. Bible says, and these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free, for they were employed in that work day and night. These chief fathers of the Levites were chief throughout their generations. These dwelt at Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your grace, your mercy, and your long-suffering tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your help today. God, no, Lord, in anything that I have ever done or ever will do, but God, it's you. Lord, I stand in a great need right now. Father, I pray your power and spirit overshadow us. God, you come this way, speak every word that needs to be heard tonight. God, we're begging you for a fresh touch, a fresh oil. We again do thank you for your help this morning, but that's not sufficient for tonight because we are a needy people. God, we need you every minute, every second, every hour of every day. And God, we pray you'd help us tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd take the word of God, that you'd open it to our hearts tonight. Lord, you'd just settle it in there, that help us to walk closer than we ever have before. Father, help us tonight clear our minds of the things of this world. Lord, anything that might be out there, God, that might be a hindrance to us, Lord, dwelling upon that thing, help us to clear our minds tonight, that we might focus our eyes upon thee and see something out of your word, Father, we pray. God, I ask you, Father, that you touch every heart. If there's one in here that might be lost, oh God, I pray you'd save them before it's eternally too late. One that might be a father to you afar off and not as close as they should be. God, I pray you'd touch them. Draw them back, Lord, as close as, Lord, they've ever been. God, we pray. God, I ask you, Father, here again tonight, now that you give us a fresh touch and fresh oil to be able to preach, Lord, our voice tonight, that I might be able to lift it to the heavens and might be able to preach us, saith the word of God. Have you in your way, Father, we give you praise. For that you do, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to take time tonight to go all the way back through every bit that I got through, reviewed this morning to go back. But I do want to just kind of just call these things out as we look at this to kind of get us back out to where we're at. Talking about the porters there, verse 17 is where we kind of started. The reason I'm using verses 33 and 34 kind of as our text verse there is you'll notice the last statement in verse 33 and 34 there. He says there, the chief fathers of the Levites were chief throughout their generations. These dwelt at Jerusalem. And we all know that Jerusalem was the city of God. That's what I'd call it, the city of David there. It was a place that was significant there where the temple and the tabernacle kind of abode there, if you will. And I say one more time, we need to center our lives around the church. Amen. Everything that we have, we need to center our lives. And it shouldn't just be one time a week. It shouldn't be two times a week. It shouldn't just be three times a week. But it ought to be throughout all our generations. It ought to be in my time. It ought to be in your time. It ought to be in our children's time, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren's time. It ought to be anyone. That's throughout all generations, we should center our lives around the church. Amen. I do believe that. But in doing that, the church or the tabernacle needs to be kept the way God would have it to be kept. Now, I want to say this. I thought about this as I was coming back down the road this evening a little bit. My mind going back over the message there, and I thought about this. The way that these things are set up and the way that these porters had to keep the house of God and the tabernacle and the temple there was not their idea, okay?
It was not something that they come up with, and the way it was laid out was not their idea. It was not their thoughts, if you will, but it was the way that God mandated it to be, okay? Now, we're living in a society today where liberalism is coming in our churches from every direction, okay? But I want to tell you tonight, now you listen to me very closely, according to the Word of God, there is one way, okay? According to Him, there's only one way you're coming to the Father, amen? There's only one way you can worship Him, and that's through and by the Holy Spirit of God, amen? Ain't two ways, ain't three ways, amen? It ain't about smoke screens, it ain't about lights, it ain't about a speaker, if you will, but it's through the preaching of the Word of God, okay? It's through the songs of Zion, and it always has been, amen? We don't listen. I realize we do a few things a little bit different than what we do in our worship. It may be just a little bit different than what is laid out here, but if you look at how it's laid out in this, with the sacrificing, with going into the table of showbread, with the light, and all these things. We have these things in our worship, amen. If you study all these things out, you'll find that they're all in our worship, okay? So I felt like we needed maybe to reiterate that just a little bit there. But first of all, we talked about the porters of the gates. We talked about the porter of the door there. We talked about the porters over the chambers, if you will, and the treasuries there. We talked about the porters to open the house of God. Those that would swing the doors open of a morning. Boy, I say praise God for those. Amen. What a blessing. The porters over the ministering vessels, those that were out there making the sacrifices and on the outside. We talked about the porters over the vessels of the sanctuary. Amen. Boy, they're special. Amen. I wished I had time to settle in on these and preach about 2 or 3 weeks on each one of these. Okay. There's more preaching in this than I can get out. Okay. We'd stay here about a year if we did. But we talked about the vessels and the instruments of the sanctuary. And then we talked about, lastly, as we left this morning, and I do believe from the depths of my heart, this is probably one of the greatest and one of the most important, and that is the porters of the ointment. I believe if there's anything we need in our churches today, church, it is the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe folks all around, they're tired of dead worship. Amen. They're tired of formalism, okay? They're tired of all this other stuff that you see that is dead. They're looking for something alive, amen. I'm looking for something alive myself, and I hope you are too, amen. That's what I'm interested in, is when the Holy Ghost comes in. Over in the scriptures over there, I believe it's in the Gospel of Matthew there, if I remember correctly, he says they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth, okay? And without the Holy Spirit, we cannot worship Him, amen? I do believe tonight we need Him to worship Him. And I want to say this, I believe it goes a little deeper than that. Because if you study in the book of Romans there, chapter number 8, you'll find in that scripture there that chapter is all about the Spirit. And without the Spirit of God, we would not be drawn. Amen. And without the Spirit of God, we would not be redeemed. Amen. And without the Spirit of God, we would not be baptized into Him. Amen. Without the Spirit of God, we would not be regenerated. Amen. Without the Spirit of God, we would not be indwelled. Amen. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. Amen. Within ourselves. And we definitely cannot worship Him. Amen. So it's all about the Spirit. Amen. It's all about what He does. When we come to the house of God, we shouldn't come worried about what somebody else is going to do or what this over here is going to do, what they're going to wear, or whether what the preacher's going to preach. We ought to just bring the Holy Ghost with us. Amen. Come in and say, Lord, I just want to sit in your presence and I just want to feel the Holy Ghost move all around. Amen. I like to pray whenever I come to the house of God. I like to pray, Lord, let us just kick that honey bucket over. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost cloud come down and move in our midst. Amen. I do believe we need that. Then tonight I want to look at this. Can I back up and say this one more time? Lord knows my heart right here. It is the Holy Ghost. It's not plural, amen. It's the Holy Ghost, amen. If you read over there in the book of Exodus, chapter number 30 over there, you'll find over there, there's a recipe to make this ointment. And this ointment, when they made it, they could not vary one side or the other. They could not use generics, say amen. They could not use generics there to change things, but it had to be exactly the way God had set it up. I tell you here tonight, unless you go with Him and the way that He lays out, the Holy Ghost ain't going to show up. Amen. I'll promise you that. So it must be the Holy Ghost. Now, notice with me in verse 31. We'll give you about three more of these things and try to close. Verse 31 says this. And there's a man's name here. I want you to notice this. And I'm going to call his name Mattai. I don't know if that's right or not. We're going to call it Mattai. One of the Levites who was the firstborn of Shalom, the Korite, had the set office over the things that were made in the pans. I noticed in this scripture all these things that we read. We come down and we stop at this scripture here, and he picks out a man's name. It must be somebody that he had a little bit of confidence in. It must be somebody that he set up there and said, this is who we want to do this. Well, if you read what he's over there, it was over those things that were made in the pans. You go back to Leviticus chapter number 2. And what it was the sacrifice of the oblation, if you will, an oblation there, a special sacrifice. And this sacrifice was the most holy sacrifice that you could do. I know I said this morning as we're coming in the gate and we go there to the altar there, we do our sacrifice. That was our sin sacrifice, okay? That's what you had to have in order to even get in the place, okay? That was your reasonable service. That was the least you could do. But the oblation's not that. You study a little deeper in that, and there was a wave offering that you could do, okay? They would go there, and the priest would take the wave offering and the drink offering and the food offering, and he'd hold it up, and he'd wave it back and forth as if to give God the glory, okay? As if to give Him honor. But when we look at this done in pans here, it was an oblation, they call it, in the book of Leviticus chapter 2. You read it when you go home. I'm still the King James, okay? Leviticus chapter 2, it mentions that oblation. And it says this, that this is the most high sacrifice, is the way I'm going to say it. In other words, it's a sweet-smelling savor to God. It's what the Scripture says, okay? Leviticus chapter 2, you read when you go home. And as I looked at this, I thought, how special is this? I believe what we see right here is that these pans that they took, there was three ways they could make this sacrifice. They could bake it in the oven in that pan. They could take and they could fry it in that pan. Kind of like fried chicken, say amen. Fry it there in the pan. Or they could take it and they could saute it in there. You study it when you go home. And as we look at these things, the thought is this, that it was all done in a pan. In other words, keeping all the juices, keeping all of it together. I'm going somewhere with this. Just hang on with me right here, okay? And they put it in that pan there, and it kept all the juices in that. Now, all the other sacrifices, if you notice them there, they're done on the altar, if you will. And when you have the altar there, it had a great system. In other words, almost grilled, okay? And all the juices would fall through. But in this, everything was done in the pan. This piece of meat was laid there. The fine flour was put there. The frankincense was put on top of it. Man, it was set just exactly the way it's supposed to be. And then what they would do is the priest would take his certain part out of it. And then the rest of it, they would take out there and they would put it on the altar. But it was a special, sweet-smelling savor to the Lord, raised up to Him, which was the greatest that man could do at that time. You getting this? It was the greatest sacrifice that man could do at that time, okay? As I look at this, I think I wish I had time to really dig in and preach on just the sacrifices themselves. There's a great study in that right there. But if you look at the sacrifice of the sin sacrifice, you look at all these others, and then you get to this oblation here. It was the greatest thing that you can do. Amen. And this man, Mattai, I hope his name's right, Mattai, all he had, all his job was make sure that pan is right. Make sure that pan was right. That everybody that wanted to come in the house of God and wanted to give the best that they could give to God, that pan was ready. That atmosphere was ready, if I could put it that way. That they didn't have to stop and wait, say, wait a minute, let me go wash it. I thought about this again as I've looked at these utensils and these vessels that these porters were over there. I don't find anywhere in the scriptures that they got there and maybe somebody came in and they said, whoa, wait a minute, I got to go wash it. Whoa, wait a minute, I got to go make sure it's right. No, if they had to do that, the porter wasn't doing his job. Amen, the porter wasn't doing his job. Well, this man, Mattai here, he's got the pans. Boy, that's something simple. I mean, of all the instruments and all the things, it's kind of like the ointment I said this morning. He's just over one thing. This man that doesn't know what made the ointment, he's just over that one thing. Well, the same way as this man here that's going to do the oblation there, and he's just over the pans, just keeping that pan. But oh, how important that when that person came in the tabernacle and wanted to give the best that he could give to God, can I say that one more time? That man that came in and wanted to give the best that he could give to God, that there was a man that already had the pan ready, that there was a man that had already paved the way, that there was somebody, there was a porter that already come in and washed the pan and got it ready and got it in the right place. Amen. Hey, listen to me, church. I believe we got to look at this as we ought to be somebody. We ought to be a porter over the pan there, if you will. And we ought to prepare the way that anybody and everybody coming to the house of God would want to do their best. Amen. When they see us, they would want it. They want to do their best. Amen. When they see us worshiping, they would want to worship even more. Amen. I love the illustration. And I heard Brother Junior Bailey preach on this a long time ago. Are you a thermometer or a thermostat? I love that illustration because there's thermometers everywhere. Amen. Everywhere you look, there's thermometers. And all it does is tell you how hot it is and how cold it is. Amen. That's all it does. Amen. But you take a thermostat and you go over there, and that thermostat, it can change whether it's hot or cold. Amen. It'll run the heat up and it'll run the cool down. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad there's some folks today that'll be a thermostat. Amen. That'll set the way that somebody wants to do the greatest. They'll have the pans ready. Amen. If you want to do something for God, church, I want to be that porter that'll have the pan ready. Amen. Are you getting this? Amen. I want to have that ready for you. That if you want to give that best, amen, I believe you ought to. Say amen. I believe you ought to. But I want to be that porter that's got the atmosphere ready, that's got everything just right to where you can give your best. Amen. I believe that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand in here, but I do want to say this. How many wants to give their best? Amen. How many wants to give their best for God? Amen. I wonder sometimes some of the things I see in churches. And I wonder sometimes if we don't just come in just playing church. Well, we just try. Well, it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I believe we'll just come in. Well, listen, we ought to come in wanting to do our best. Oh, listen, all the things God's done for us. How great God is to us. How blessed we are. Should we not give Him the greatest? I ought to give Him the greatest I can give Him. Amen. I worry about folks, and I've heard people say this and tell me this, and there's not a dress code in the Bible. Yes, there is. And I believe you ought to dress your best. When you come in the house of God, I believe you ought to dress your best. Amen. I believe you ought to put on your clothes. Amen. I believe you ought to dress right. If you read that scripture, when they came to the tabernacle, they had to have certain clothing on. Amen. And I believe that's the way it should be. When we come in, we shouldn't give Him the seconds. We ought to give Him the best. Amen. We ought to give Him the best. this oblation that they done. They would take the flour, the fine flour that I talked about this morning. They'd mix it with that frankincense. They'd take it up there, and the Bible says that it was a sweet, sweet savor unto the Lord. That tells me that the Lord, listen to me, the Lord is pleased with that. Have you ever thought about this? How do I please the Lord? I would love to preach a message one time, if God help me, on how do you please the Lord? I mean, we've got His Word. You've got that King James Bible. Huh? We've got His Word. We've got His laws. We've got the things that we live by. We got all these things. But how do you please the Lord? I believe you got to give Him your best, don't you? I believe you got to get that pan and you got to give Him the best. Amen. You got to lift it up to Him, amen, and give Him the best. And in order to do that, I want to be a porter over the pans that would cause you to want to do that. My heart's desire is this, as your pastor, is I want you to be to that place in your life where I always want to do more. I always want to do more. There's motivational speakers all around that'll tell you, boy, you're doing good. You just keep doing what you want to do. You're doing good. You're living right. I'm not going to do you that way. I'm not going to do you that injustice, okay? I'm going to keep telling you, you need to do better. Amen. You get tired of hearing your preacher tell you you need to do better, you're just going to have to find you another preacher. Because your preacher needs to do better just like you. Say amen. We're in the same boat together. Amen. We'll never get to the place where we're perfect until we get to heaven. We'll never get to the place that we do not need to do better. Amen. We'll never get to the place where we should not be to where, God, I want to give you my best. And my best needs to get better. And my best needs to get better. But I want to be the one that'll be the porter of the pan, that when you do want to bring your best and that best sacrifice, that the pan is ready. Amen. I want to be there. Amen. Notice verse number 32. I'll give you another one here. Verse 32, the porter over the pans. Verse 31, but I thought about the porter over the bread in 32. Notice this. He says, and other of their brethren of the sons of the Kohites, have you say that, were over the showbread to prepare it every Sabbath. Oh, thank God for the bread. Everybody knows what bread is, don't you? That's the Word, is it not? That's your King James Bible, amen. Oh, thank God for those that are porters over the bread. Mixing it up every Sabbath, amen. You say, preacher, that's the preachers. They've got a message every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Yep, sure have. God gives it to us. Ain't us, it's the Lord, amen, gives it to us. Well, what's wrong with you? Huh? Amen. We ought to be porters over the bread. You may be studying, listen to me. You may be studying this week, and God just bless you so much in that scripture where you've been reading, you just can't stand yourself. I mean, He blesses you in that. You know, I like it when folk come by and say, let me tell you, I read this the other day. Let me ask you what you think about this in the Bible. That's a blessing to me. Don't think it bothers me. It does not bother me whatsoever. I love it when they come by. Because you know what that tells me? That tells me through the week they've been in the Word. Preacher, what do you think about this? Preacher, have you ever read this? That just stirs me up. Amen. You know what's happening right there? They're being porters of the showbread. Porters of the showbread. Every Sunday morning, something special. Our Sunday school teachers, thank God for our Sunday school teachers. They come every Sunday morning, got that bread ready to break it. Ready to break it. Thank God for the showbread. I can't say enough that this bread right here is so precious. But listen to me, and we've done been talking about this a little bit back in the prayer room. That bread is precious. And it need not be added to. It need not be taken away. There was a recipe to make that showbread. God gave it to them. They could not waver from one side to the other. They couldn't take and instead of put sugar in, put salt in. They couldn't put something else instead of water. They couldn't use milk instead of water. They had to use what God told them to use.
that table of showbread had to have the pure bread upon it. Can I say to you tonight, we've got the pure bread. Amen. In that King James Bible, we've got the pure, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And we need to be porters over that bread. We need to make sure what kind of bread's being preached. Let me say this, and I'm going to move on. The Lord just said to move on. I hope, my prayer to God is, church, that every one of us right here sitting tonight gets to go to heaven at the same time. Would it not be wonderful on a Sunday morning? Me get up here, and I don't even have to finish the message, just call out the scripture. Maybe it'll be over there in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Maybe that's where y'all call out. And all of a sudden, we're gone. Come up here, we'd hear. Boy, it'd be good, wouldn't it? I'm telling you, it'd be good. And I hope that happens. And I hope God leads me right here. But I want to challenge you. If God was to send me somewhere else and call me to another church, call me somewhere, call me to be a missionary somewhere or something, and move me somewhere else, please stick with that King James Bible. You're a porter over the showbread. You are a porter over that. Don't expect that man right there standing behind that pulpit, whoever he is, to be the only porter over that bread. You need to settle that in your heart, and you need to be the porter over that bread like everybody else. Amen? You've got to do that. Let me encourage you, please, and challenge you, please stick with that King James Bible. I don't believe I have any problem worrying about it, okay? But I believe tonight that needs to be said. Let's stick with that King James Bible. Amen? So there's porters over the showbread. Let me give you the last thing, verse number 33. Not only were they porters over the showbread, but I believe they were singers. Porters that sung, if you let me put it that way. Porters to sing. And you say, preacher, what do you mean porters to sing? Well, look at verse 33. And these are the singers, chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free, for they were employed in that work day and night. Now, the way I interpret this, and I hope you'll agree with me on this, if you understand the way this reads here, he don't call out no more names. In other words, in verse 33, the first words here, and these are the singers, chief of their fathers of the Levites. In other words, it tells me that he's talking about the same people. Would you agree with me? Say amen. He's talking about that same group, these Levites, these porters there. He's talking about the same ones. So these same ones here, I believe all of them are porters of the singing. Notice with me here. Read on. And these are the singers of chief of the fathers of the Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free. Preacher, what are they saying here? Well, humor me right here. I believe this is truth. When they got their vessels in order, when they got their portering done, if you will, you don't ever get done, but take the man with the pan, he got it all cleaned up, ready to be used. Got it set there, ready to go. Reckon that sound there? Look at that. I'm good. Ready to be used. Ready for anybody to come by. The Bible says here he was free. So, all right, I got my job done. What do I do now? Got my job done. What do I do now? Well, I just go back home, kick my feet up, my lazy boy. Nope. I believe the next job that each and every one of them had was just to sing. They were free. Read the scriptures, what it say there. They were free in the chambers. Free in there to the whole time that after they got their job done and the things that they were overseeing, the showbread ready, the ointment ready, the pans ready, the vessels ready, the instrument ready, that all the next thing they were to do is just to, can I use this word? I like it. Meander. Amen. throughout the tabernacle and sing. If my throat wasn't so bad, I'd check out the singing. Somebody might have to sing for me. I can't do it tonight, okay? Maybe they needed to sing, Jesus Loves Me. Maybe they had to go through and they had to sing, Amazing Grace. I know it wasn't written then, just humor me, okay? But that's the song we sing, amen? I love them old songs that they call out, especially out of that red book, amen? He called out 276 tonight, and before y'all started singing, I said, Prayer Bells of Heaven. Amen. I can do, I ain't hardly as good as Mark Stroud, but I'm getting close, okay? He knows it all, I believe, on that book. But listen, that book, all them songs, oh, how precious they are. Porters over the singing. I mean, all this, after all their other duties, the sounds in the tabernacle had to be so beautiful. I mean, you had to hear singing all around in the tabernacle, because what I can read right here in this verse, read with me there one more time, verse 33. And these are the singers, chief of their fathers and Levites, who remaining in the chambers were free, for they employed in that work day and night, walking throughout day and night. And they all they done sing. After they got their job done, they're singing. Amen. Does the Bible not say, Paul, I believe it was, said making melody, singing and making melody in your heart? You got something big as God in your heart, believe the Lord to sing. Amen. It'll come out, I promise you that. Amen. Oh, I love to hear the good old songs of Zion. Ain't nothing like it. Amen. But I'll say this, church. As I said a minute ago, we're living in a day and time when liberalism is moving in all over the place. And some of this junk that's coming in our churches ain't right with God. Some of these songs and some of this singing and so-called rock, Christian rock music, it ain't right. I'm sorry, it ain't right. You just look at the singers and you can tell it ain't right, okay? And as we think about the songs that were sung inside the sanctuary, inside the tabernacle there, those songs that were sung there were songs that God had give His people. You read in the book of Psalms over there, in many places, I don't know how many, you can turn probably to the first part of the book of Psalms there in the introduction in your Bible there, and it'll tell you how many of those songs were written by Asaph, how many was songs was written by for Korah, how many songs was written for the others by David. And these were psalms, and I believe there were psalms that were sung throughout the tabernacle and throughout the temple. You could hear these songs being sung. Well, preacher, where did them songs come from? They come, listen to me, they come from somebody that had experienced God moving in their life. Why do you reckon David wrote Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Huh? Why do you reckon he wrote that psalm? I believe it's because he knows what he's writing about. It's because he had experienced that. Why do you reckon he wrote that psalm there where he said in there, if I ascend into the heavens, behold, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, he's there. He said, where can I go to get away? I can't. He's there. Amen. Those are psalms that I believe were sung in the tabernacle. Now, you listen to me very closely right here. If a song does not give God glory, you don't need to be singing it. If a song does not give him glory, we don't need to be singing it in here. Amen. I had a, been a long time ago, and I don't even remember the name of the group, but it was the lead singer of that group, and they were so-called Christian artists, so-called. But he made the statement, some songs are too Jesus-y, is the way he put it. And he made this statement. He said, you don't have to have the name of Jesus in every song. And I thought, Lord, why not? That name that's above every name. Amen. That name that's above every name. Amen. I believe you better have it in there, or otherwise it's dead. Amen. But listen, these porters that done all their other duties, one of their duties was to sing throughout the tabernacle. But I believe they were supposed to sing the right songs in the tabernacle. Amen. It had to be songs that God and only God had given them. Amen. I don't know about you, but I sure like the songs we sing around here. I do. I like them. Amen. I like them songs that I can feel. Amen. I like them songs when God moves in the midst of them. Amen. I didn't like them, thank God, that just makes you tingle all over. Amen. Them that run from the bottom of your feet, top of your head, and make you want to whoop. Amen. I like them songs. Amen. I love that red book. I love all these songs. Love even that brown book. Amen. Love it. I like the songs that we sing in here. And I love the people that sing them too. Amen. I love to hear them sing. You say, preacher, I can't carry a tune in the bucket. It don't matter. Make a noise. Amen. Make that joyful noise. I realize they don't always, everybody don't agree with that. But listen, if God's in the midst of it, amen, it'll be right. Amen. It'll be right. God will bless that, I promise you. I want to end it with this tonight. Notice the last verse in this scripture that I read to you. These chief fathers, did you get that word chief? Chief is a leader, somebody that's stepped out, somebody that's in front of everyone else and wants to lead. The chief fathers of the Levites were chief throughout their generations. I don't find anywhere where they stopped. Does anybody find in the scriptures a retirement plan for these porters? Do you find a place in there where they said, I'm just going to go on Social Security, not do anything? No. I'm just going to retire, draw off my 401k, not do anything. No. It's not in there. I don't have a problem whatsoever with retiring from work. And I believe when you get to that place where you can, praise God for it, I do. But there's not a retirement system in Porter's. There's not a place for us to stop. There's not a place. I worry about these preachers that say, I'm going to retire. How in the world can you do it? Dear, 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 precious preacher retired this week. One of my greatest authors that I love to read after. Wrote a book on the home, wrote a book on the Holy Spirit. If you want a copy of it, I'll get it for you. It's the best I ever read in my life. Great. He retired this week. Thank God he retired. Bless his name. Who is it, preacher? Stinnett Blue. You know how he retired? He drawed his last breath. And his retirement's out of this world. What he's seeing right now, man alive, the reward is so great. What he's seeing right now, every word that he's preached throughout his life, every time he's mounted the pulpit and began to preach the word of God, what he's seeing right now, cannot even come close to it, amen, of what he's seeing. I don't know about you, but I want to be a porter. I believe our future generations need some porters that'll stand at that gate, that'll stand at that door, that'll take care of all these things in the sanctuary and on the outer court and stand there and make sure everything and all of our worship is right. We need some porters. Let me ask you a question in closing. Porter, what's your job? What part of it is that God has given unto you to do? It may be that God just wants you to be so full of the Holy Ghost when you come in that folks will just, it'd rub off on them. I've seen folks like that. You ever seen anybody like that? They're just full of the Holy Ghost and they come in. If you rub up against them, you'll go, whoo, glory to God. I'm telling you, power of God all over. I like those folk, amen. I mean, just look at them. They got a smile on their face, amen. They're having to sit on their hand and keep them clapping, amen. I like those. And that may be your job. I don't know. It may be your job to be like that fella that porter that would take care of the pan and just get the atmosphere ready, that when everybody wanted to come in and do their best, that you wanted to help them along. Amen. Maybe you need to take care of those instruments of the sacrifices or the instruments on the inside of the sanctuary. I don't know what your job is. I don't know where God wants you to be. Maybe you need to be that man out there beside the gate that says, ain't nothing coming in here that's going to defile it. Maybe you need to be that man beside the door that says, ain't nothing going to come in here that's going to defile what God has set up.